scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass, to left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Aguilla. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Logan Gordon.
It is deadline day 2025. It is Friday, March 7th, and this hour of Flames Talk is underway. Our trade deadline coverage is underway as well. And as we welcome you to this hour of Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, the Flames don't do anything on deadline day 2025, which honestly, over the last week, felt like was going to be the case. Maybe something little here or there, but the general consensus from anybody you talked to, anybody you checked in with, sources and people you trusted was, and for quite some time, basically since the Morgan Frost, Joel Farabee edition on January 31st, this was very, very, very likely going to be a quiet trade deadline for the Flames. It's not to say that Conroy's phone was off. That's not to say they didn't try and do things here and there. But the prices and the market and the fact that there was no third-party salary retention on this day made it difficult for the Flames to get anything done and also stay on brand with the plan that they are following through on. Our conversation with Craig Conroy, the general manager, is available on our Flames Talk podcast feed right now. It's Pat Steinberg and Logan Gordon along with you from our Groundworks downtown studio on this trade deadline Friday. And now Eric Francis joins us from Dallas, Texas, says the Flames did their deadline day work, or in this case, did not do any work, but handled their trade deadline from their team hotel in Dallas, and then everybody will fly back later on this Friday. The Flames, of course, wrapped up their six-game road trip in Dallas on Thursday with a 3-2 overtime loss. Eric Francis, Fridays now. Francis from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. Francis, it's Steinberg and Logan Gordon. Tell us about deadline day from your perspective. I know you were very much like me. We weren't expecting a whole lot to happen here, and in the end, nothing ends up happening, and the Flames do not make a deal on or leading up to deadline day.
No, you know, and it's I think that one of the obvious questions that could be asked is that an indictment? Like, is this a failure of some sort, or did the GM not come through with some of his words that he said were, you know, we want to support the players? Well, I've just been literally sitting with Craig here at the hotel for the last 20 minutes or whatever, and like, they never came close to anything. And even when they did entertain different things that were thrown their way or that they threw out there, I think a big question that, you know, Craig was just talking about was like, you know, if you're just swapping two guys or making a minor trade here, there, you know, does it really move the needle? Like, is it worth the disruption? Is it worth giving up, even if it's a late round asset? Is any of that worth it when you know you've got guys who put in all the time all year long? They know the system, they know the culture, they fit in wherever they fit in. I think sometimes general managers feel the need to make moves just to make moves, and I think this falls under the category once again of a general manager whose hallmark has really proven to be over the last year and a half, patience. And I think he's patient knowing, okay, no, I still need some depth on defense. I still need some depth up the middle. And in the summer, when the prices aren't as exorbitant as they are right now, I could probably do a little bit better work and have a better, clearer picture of everything and where we're at. So I this was not a failure. This is not a bad day. Flames fans shouldn't be all frustrated and say, we didn't even do a thing. They did their heavy lifting a couple weeks or last month, and they're not in a position to move all their chips into the middle. We all know that this is not the time to be weaponizing that $18 million in cap space. It'll come. There'll be a day. They made some inquiries, but now wasn't the fit.
As far as the pending UFAs go, franchise, and you know, they had a couple of guys. We've talked about Vladar a lot. Obviously, Hanley and Rooney are pending UFA guys. But you know, when we talked to Craig, and I'm sure you got the same thought from him when you talked to him as well, it didn't make sense to just dump those guys for a sixth or a seventh. If there was something significant on the table, maybe you could have that conversation. But like you said, why take something away from a team that's, you know, battling for a playoff spot for a lottery ticket way down the list at a draft?
Yeah, I mean, and these are popular guys in the room, too, to be honest. I mean, those three guys you mentioned. Look, I've long said, like, the market for a Vladar was, a fourth rounder at best. And, you know, not to say that that's not a great asset to add, but, you know, at what cost? It would have meant Logan Cooley would have been your backup goalie for the rest of this year, and he's not a proven NHLer. So you're chasing a playoff spot where every single point is crucial, and you're going to have to throw in a guy who's played six NHL games between the pipes. Like, that's not fair to anybody. And so, you know, I'm glad they weren't tempted in any way to trade Vladar. I think Rooney, there's a lot of people who think that, you know, when they talk about upgrading at center, they're talking about Rooney. But the guy's a really popular guy. He works hard. He's, you know, he's a serviceable fourth-line center. Like, sure, you could go out and get another serviceable fourth-line center. Like, Luke Cunnan was a name that I had thrown out there a week and a half ago thinking, you know, because I knew that there was a little bit of interest there. But, you know, again, at what cost? You're going to have to give up an asset, and you're going to bring in a guy. And, hey, again, it'd be nice to have an extra player because they're one injury away up the middle from having to go out and get Rory Karens potentially. So, you know, I don't think it's fair or it even makes any sense. I don't even think anybody's all worked up saying, man, we should have traded those three guys because the returns would have been minimal. And I don't think that they equal the contributions they make to this team, however small they may be in some people's eyes.
Francis is with us on deadline day. The discourse on our text line and on social media is really interesting. Like, it's kind of running the gamut of, hey, I understand what Craig Conroy did. I understand there probably wasn't a whole lot of sense in chasing one way or the other and not getting involved in some of these astronomical prices, like which have been, we've seen some massive trade deadline overpays, that's for sure. That made sense. And who understand the fact that, hey, they're in a playoff spot on March 7th, you know, trading away and selling doesn't make sense. You've got the crowd that says, how could they miss out on the opportunity with these prices so high to not trade a Coleman or not trade a Kadri or not trade an Anderson, so on and so forth. You've got the crowd that's upset that they, you know, didn't move on from their UFAs or didn't get involved in salary retention. It's one of those. It's one of those really interesting times for the Flames right now, isn't it? Because they're still so early in this process, and there are many opinions that believe, well, for them to be successful, they have to do something one way or the other at the trade deadline, which I don't think necessarily is the case. In fact, this fits. You've spoken to Craig Conroy numerous times about the plan. We've spoken to Craig numerous times about the plan, and he's been very adamant about sticking to the plan. And I think everything that he did, or in this case, didn't do leading up to today's deadline, does it not, whether you agree or not, does it not fall in line with kind of the transparent messaging he's given us over the last number of months and weeks and days?
Yeah, and that's one thing you got to give him a ton of credit for, I think, is his consistency in delivering on what the plan is. You know, with every trade, with every move, he comes out and he explains, this is part of the plan and this is why we're doing this and we're not doing things that aren't part of the plan. Look, if this road trip, you know, went horribly sideways, which it very much had the potential of doing, I could see you changing your plan somewhat. But because they hung in there and had a, you know, pretty admirable road trip, in my opinion, given the juggernaut opponents and the traveling and all the different cities they were in. You can't liquidate. And, you know, I'm gonna point to one trade today that I just kind of was so fixated on.
Okay.
Is Luke Shen, okay, 35-year-old defenseman, you know, third-pairing defenseman. Has been most of his career, but definitely now as a third-pairing defenseman. Do you remember what the price was for him today?
It was a third and a fifth. Is that what it was?
A second and a third.
Second and a third.
26, 27, second and a third.
For Luke Shen. Okay.
For Luke Shen, yeah.
Okay.
Like, so the Flames, we all knew that they kind of would love to have grabbed someone who could play alongside, Mackenzie Weegar. That's a big ask. A top four defenseman at the trade deadline, you're going to pay huge. So even if you were like, okay, no, we can still play Hanley there. We're looking for a third pairing defenseman who can just kind of fit in high off the glass, out of the zone. We'll never get a point in the game, but he's just, you know, he's been there, done that, and he's a good veteran. And you want to pay a second and a third? Like, I get it. If you're all chips all in and you think that you're going to go on a long run and you're going to need 10 or 11 defensemen because of the war of attrition, then fill your boots and go get your set, you know, pay that price. But my God, if there's somebody listening right now who thinks that that is the sort of price that they should have paid for a Luke Shen for a third pairing defenseman, even if you squinted, he could, you know, you could maybe see him on your second pairing, but boy, I'm not sure that's an upgrade on anything you currently have. And you want to pay a second and a third. Was it Brian Burke who said famously years ago that 80% of all the mistakes GMs made are made on trade deadline day? And that is 100% accurate, not 80% accurate. That is 100% accurate. The prices are so inflated and so ridiculous, but you understand why teams that are in the race do it, because they think that last piece could maybe help get them over the top. The Flames are not even in that world right now. Maybe they will get there in 3 or 4 years. I don't know, but they're certainly not in that world right now. And your text line right now, it's a mixed bag now, but it would be 100% filled with vitriol if they went out and got a Luke Shen, for example, for a second and third rounder. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's kind of where, when it comes to additions, that's kind of where I am, Francis. Like, you can't be paying those prices just because you're in a playoff spot in year one of your bigger picture. Like this, Craig Conroy said multiple times, this is a 3 to 5 year plan. This is year one of that 3 to 5 year plan. You can't be deviating and giving up top 60, top 90 picks just to make yourself better if you're also going to be talking to us about sticking to your plan. And so that's, whether you agree with the plan or not is almost immaterial. What you can't disagree with, though, is that the different moves, whether it be the Philly trade or the no trades since leading up to today, they all fit with the plan that he's messaged.
Yeah.
And so I continue to think that's a really important, that's a really important kind of thing to keep on tagging on everything, is that, hey, their plan has been very, very well laid out here.
Yeah. And again, with 20 games to go or whatever the Flames have, 21, I don't know what the number is right now. I've been buried on the road for the last 2 weeks. I don't know what day it is.
20 to go. But
20 to go. Thank you. My God, I'm crossed them off like I'm in a prison. No, I mean, I love my job. Don't get me wrong, but it's just been a long trip. But you know, look at how long, like, Joel Farabee was finally an impact player last night. And, you know, he hasn't played as well as I think he's capable of or that he wants to play. Last night was the first real sign of life. Like, I thought he had a great game last night. He was probably the most noticeable forward on the ice for the Flames all night. And it took him 10 or 11 games to get to that point. And Frost has had a little bit better of a start, but I bet you he'd tell you, well, I know he'd tell you, that he hasn't been thrilled with the way he started in Calgary compared to what he thinks he's capable of. So there's a period also where it takes guys to kind of get assimilated and comfortable and break in and, you know, get their stuff delivered to their apartment and get a car and figure out the city and all these things. With 20 games left, you know, you don't have a lot of runway there. And for a team like Calgary, which probably has, you know, if they do make the playoffs, it's not a long run that anyone in the world would think that they would go on. You're renting a guy and you're only going to get the best of them for maybe 10 or 15 games tops. So there's also that argument in terms of why make change just for the sake of change, because there is a breaking in period that is inevitable. And by the time these guys are kind of hitting their stride, season's pretty much over anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, rentals were not an option really for them. And even guys who they were going to keep for more than 1 year, you know, same thing holds true. You can get those guys in the summer and pay a whole lot less, in my opinion.
Francis, you know, it's funny we talk about Luke Shen, second and a third that Winnipeg paid. What do you think they could have gotten for Joel Hanley when it's all said and done? And I, like, one trade is not equivalent to another trade, and Luke Shen's reputation in this league is different than Joel Hanley's reputation in this league. I grant you all those things. I just wonder, like, They were definitely getting interest in Hanley. I do wonder what that might have looked like if they decided to make a deal.
That's a fascinating question. I hadn't thought of before. But the first thing that comes to mind when you ask it is the first 2 months of the season, he was a healthy scratch. It looked like his career was over. So I'm not sure the GMs who might have been knocking on the door for a depth player like that would have forgotten the fact that, you know, just a couple months ago, this guy was a healthy scratch on a team that had, you know, some pretty big question marks and holes on its blue line. So I don't know what would you peg it at? Is he a fifth rounder? Because I'm not thinking he's much higher than a fourth or fifth rounder, but I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts? Again, it's a little different. Luke Shen's kind of been there, done that, and gone through playoff runs and all these other things. You can't really say the same about Joel Hanley.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly, I'm not sure. I think that you probably could have squinted and seen like a third round pick. I think that they would have made that deal if it was on the table, is kind of my point. Like, I don't think that I think that you could make the argument that, hey, you know, maybe you could get a nice return, a third or a fourth round pick or something like that for a guy like Joel Hanley. But I think if it got to the point where there was something similar to Luke Shen on the table, I honestly believe Conroy would have made that deal.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, it's an interesting debate. I'll ask Craig, he's still here. I'll ask him, I guess, in confidence later what sort of numbers we'd be thinking about with that. But, you know, if it's a fifth or sixth rounder, then I'm like, well, what's the...
I'm with you.
What's the point?
The opportunity cost is huge. Like, so you're going to give up a guy who's playing in your second pairing right now, and you're going to get a throw-in fifth or sixth rounder? I don't think he's a third rounder. Like, I know what you're saying. If you squint... And who knows?
I'm not by any means suggesting I think Conroy left that on the table at all. I'm just saying, like, you could like maybe squint and say, okay, well, if Shen got this and that,
it was a three.
Yeah.
What do you think, Logan? Like, where would you peg him? I don't know.
I think like a four makes sense for me. I mean, this is a guy that's this year, guys, is, you know, 227 games played in the NHL. He's at 34 games played this year. His career high is 44 with Dallas. Like, this year is going to be an outlier on his career stats. I'm kind of with you, Franchise, in the sense that this is a guy that's played mostly 10 to 30 games for teams. I don't think GMs forget that. How many other, with all due respect to Joel Hanley, who's been great here in Calgary, how many other rosters does he have a everyday spot in the lineup in? I'm not sure how many there are.
Yeah, like, Calgary is in a playoff spot right now, which is a ridiculous thing to come out of my mouth at this junction of the season, and the fact that they're the second lowest scoring team in the National Hockey League. How have they done it? By playing with an incredible amount of heart and tenacity. They've done it with a goaltender, a tandem, however you want to put it, that's got them there right now. But more than anything else, they've played to an identity that revolves around playing really solid defensive hockey. And so you have to give the Blue Lions some credit for that. But there are still so many moving parts in that top six. It's more like a top seven or eight that on any given day, you could kind of interchange four different guys. And so I don't know if that means that people are undervaluing those guys, or if maybe they would overvalue one of those guys and give you a third or fourth rounder. I don't think so. I don't think, I've said my piece. And again, I don't want to slam Joel Hanley. He's been part of the solution here down the stretch, as this team's played really good defensively. So that's not what this is about. The guy has been a very serviceable guy and a good soldier, too. A guy who sat on the sidelines for 2 months, took warm-ups endlessly, and then was told almost every time, you're not playing. Like, good on him for sticking with it. And it's paying off for him a bit. But I'm not sure the payoff would have been a third or fourth rounder.
I wanted to ask you, Franchise, what you thought about seeing Andre Kuzmenko get flipped again, just recently acquired from the Flyers, and now he's on his way to L.A.
Hey, good for the Flyers for continuing to maximize the return on that trade. They dumped some salary with Farabee. They cashed in on Frost. They got a second rounder from the Flames. They got a seventh rounder from the Flames. And now they get a third rounder for Kuzmenko. Like, good on them. And, you know, I think the whole thing with Kuzmenko for even L.A. is let's just take this guy on a test run and see if there's anything there we can tap into. Because everybody knows the guy is sublimely skilled. The guy had 39 goals just a couple of years ago. And so everyone's thinking, God, if we could just get him with the right guy or get him in the right mindset or, you know, or get the right coach, that this guy could be an unbelievable value. We've seen it. And in Calgary, we certainly don't feel like that's a possibility. I'm assuming John Tortorella felt the same and Daniel Briere in Philadelphia. And now we're going to find out, I guess, at the end of the year, if LA feels the same way as well. Guy's got nine lives. I'm pretty sure his NHL career is over after this season. I'm pretty sure you'll see him in the KHL next year. But, hey, he's got a 20-game audition with the LA Kings.
20-plus? He's going to the playoffs now.
Well, there you go, right? Like, so it is a chance for him to salvage an NHL career that I think was pretty much over in Calgary and now clearly in Philadelphia. So good on him. I want good things for him because I do think he's so incredibly gifted as a player. But just obviously he's got to get his head straight and be in the right situation. Maybe it's L.A.
Last one for you, Francis. And you know, when Connie was on with us a little earlier, that conversation is available on the Flames Talk podcast. Talked about the idea of using the cap space, of which they have much. They've got plenty of it. Wasn't able to use any cap space and wasn't able to, you know, help as a third-party retention team or bring on a contract and help a team otherwise. But based on everything that Craig has said, like, it's not for lack of trying. They wanted to see if they could get involved in some of that third-party retention here on deadline day, but weren't able to make that happen. But not for lack of an attempt is kind of what the understanding is.
Yeah, you know, he said that they were all in if that was a possibility. He made it known around the league that, hey, we want to be one of these teams that, you know, gets a draft pick in exchange for retaining some salary. But he said, and I don't know, I haven't checked all the deals today, but he said there wasn't a single deal today where there was a one-year retention as a possibility for a third party. I know there was, like, I think even yesterday and earlier in the week, but he didn't think that there was one today. The ask from several teams, though, was, would you do a two-year salary retention?
Yes, exactly.
And he said they weren't in the market for wanting to do a two-year salary retention. That was just something that the Flames weren't comfortable with. So, you know, again, they looked at it. And, you know, look, there's no doubt that at some point, Craig Conroy is going to weaponize that $18 million in cap space, which is going to grow in the offseason as the cap grows. So he's going to be in an incredible position moving forward to make a play on somebody or some people or, you know, he's been patient, as I said at the start, and, you know, he just didn't feel like now was the time. And I 100% agree. Look, you know, how many people think that you could have acquired anybody today, even a Rantanen, and said, oh my God, well, now the Flames are contenders. No, there isn't a person out there that, you know, they could have grabbed that would have taken this team from being a possible playoff team,
yep,
to a team that can do some damage in the playoffs. So when you look at it honestly like that, the answer is don't do anything to jeopardize the future in any way. Even if it's a sixth or seventh rounder you're coughing up, don't do it. So people should be comfortable, I think. Fans who the team tank team, I can't speak for them, but the people who want this team to continue chasing a playoff spot, which is really what it's all about,
yeah,
I think they should be happy that they didn't make any moves today.
Franchise, how about last thought before we let you go? And appreciate the time. Obviously, not going to do a full hour. You got to get your butt home. You've been gone for 2 weeks. How about the former general manager, Brad Treliving in Toronto, gave up two first-round picks today and one of their top prospects in Fraser Minton. And the players they brought in are Scott Laughton and, on top of that, Brandon Carlo. And Dallas gave up two first-round picks and a prospect, and they got Mikko Rantanen. Those are two big prices paid by Tree today, but a little surprised as to what the Maple Leafs paid to bring in Brandon Carlo and Scott Laughton.
No, when you frame it that way, isn't it all so ridiculous? Look, don't get me wrong. I'm sure he tried very hard to try and get Rantanen in. That's the kind of move that you would think that could maybe help get the Leafs out of the first round for a change, but at the very least. But, he couldn't make that happen. And you're right, like Brandon Carlo, like seriously, Scott Laughton and Brandon Carlo, if that's the answer, I'm not sure what the question is. but there's such pressure on these guys, especially in that market, for them to do something, because if the team falls in the first round, which has been a real nice tradition in Toronto for us all to watch from the West, then everybody always blames the GM and says, you didn't do anything. You had some draft capital. You had some things you could have traded away to fill up your holes, and you didn't do it. Well, the windows are short now for a lot of GMs, and you've got to, when you have assets at, at your fingertips, you feel the need to use them, and it'll all come down to, I could almost hear Brian Burke saying that same thing. When Tree made those trades today and so many others, good God, like you are so blinded by the moment and you get caught up in the bidding and you just think, God, if we just added that one piece, it would put us over the top. And it almost never does. Like what? Something like 99.7% of all players traded at the deadline never win a cup. It really often is all for naught. And, yep. And I think Tree Living will regret today for a long time.
I don't regret ever spending a single moment with you, ever.
I do, but Pat doesn't.
Oh my God! You guys are beauties.
I haven't seen you in too long. I couldn't not be really weird and awkward with you. You would have been alarmed had I not been.
No, it'll be emotional to see you at the Dome tomorrow. There's no question about it. It's been a long time. It's always so emotional. So. Yeah, wear something nice. I look forward to seeing you both at the Dome tomorrow.
Bye, friend. Fly safe, pal. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, franchise.
Great. Hell of a job on the road, my friend. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you, boys. See you, Logan.
Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca joining us. Little mini edition of Eric Francis Friday on deadline day. He'll make his way back from Dallas, Texas. That's where the Flames conducted deadline day on this Friday. Flames talk's underway. It's Steinberg and Logan Gordon along with you. And the trade deadline has passed. Flames do not do anything on deadline day, which honestly, if you've been listening to Flames talk, you've been listening to Les and Francis on intermissions, if you've been reading Francis on Sportsnet.ca, we've kind of been preparing you for this for the last couple of weeks. Them being quiet and potentially not doing a thing was always the most likely outcome. And it is indeed the outcome that we end up seeing on this Friday, March 7th. Our trade deadline coverage of the 2025 NHL trade deadline brought to you by four great sponsors, including Eastside Dodge. 2024 Jeep clearance sale is on now. Receive invoice pricing on all remaining 2024 Jeeps. Go to eastsidedodge.com and tell them Lanny sent you.
This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Text line's open at 960-960. What's going on? It's Steinberg and Logan Gordon along with you on your deadline day Flames Talk. Let's dive in on the text line at 960-960. I'm asking you, not just me, Logan's also asking.
We're asking together.
We are. In the same seat, we're asking...
Same microphone.
What did you make of Calgary's trade deadline? They end up not doing anything on deadline day 2025. No deals. What did you make of Calgary's trade deadline? Let's get to it at 960-960. Starting with Dean. Standing pat was the right strategy. The bigger moves will come in the offseason when more options will be available at less of a cost. As well, the Rasmus Anderson contract status will be known. And I do think that has been part of the mindset for the Flames in that they're in a playoff spot. And while lots of people say, well, they're not a good team and they shouldn't be in a playoff spot and they don't score enough, all that type of stuff. But they're in a playoff spot. And I think that Craig Conroy's message has been, well, I'm not going to purposely subtract important pieces from a team that's in a playoff spot will reevaluate in the summertime. And if you're adamant that they need to trade Rasmus Anderson, that's something that they're going to evaluate in the summertime when they actually are able to get a real gauge on what the Anderson camp is looking at in a contract extension. And if they miss the playoffs and Nazem Kadri says, okay, now I've got 4 years left on my deal, you know, maybe maybe if you could explore something to a team that is going to win a Stanley Cup or close to it, then Craig Conroy can explore that. This year was always going to be a different type of year to last year, because I think all of the turmoil, starting from the Tyler Toffoli trade in late June all the way to the Noah Hanifin trade just before last year's deadline, like, it was nothing but upheaval in that Flames room, and they really wanted this year to be a year where they can set down some roots, can be a year where they set down some foundation and really start to build an identity. And they have exceeded expectations, Logo, in doing that. And so I think that the feel has been, okay, let's reward this group the rest of this season, and then we can reconvene and see where things are in the summertime when it comes to you know, how we're going to go forward and continue this plan.
Yeah, if you were on Team Sell today and you wanted to see the Flames drop a bunch of assets, not that I'm in the business of trying to make those people feel better, but there's still opportunity to sell those guys. Yes, it was tempting with some of the crazy prices that were getting paid for players. A lot of the Flames, that, and I talked about this a lot during the week leading up to this, Pat, Craig Conroy values those guys. We've talked about that, and he values the fact that they're in a playoff race. B, a lot of those Flames guys that we've talked about, really with the exception of Anderson, have a say in this. Nazem Kadri has a no move. If he doesn't want to go anywhere, again, whether you agree or disagree with that, the conversation stops there.
Yeah.
Like, if you're Craig Conroy and you've gone to Naz three times and said, hey, this, and it's been no every time, I don't want to leave, are you going to keep pounding the door down on that to try to get a guy to change his mind?
Mm-hmm.
And again, yes, okay, it would have been nice maybe to get in on some of the exorbitant prices being paid at the deadline. Okay, fair enough. I don't know that between this trade deadline and what happens in the offseason, when the group of people buying Pat expands so much in the summer. So much. There are teams that probably are interested in Nazem Kadri or Rasmus Anderson, but aren't in a position, because maybe they're last in the league right now or whatever, close to last in the league, that aren't going to be buyers at a trade deadline because of that. But in the summer, everybody gets a blank slate. And if you want to make those moves, you can do that. I'm not saying I agree with it. I understand the tank sell mentality and why people value that. I definitely do. But to sit here and say that just because something didn't happen today, it's not going to be able to happen in a couple months' time when we get to the offseason, I don't see it that way.
Yep.
And the Anderson one especially, I don't think you can trade Anderson until you know what his number is.
Yep.
I don't think that's true. I don't think you can until you find out.
That's why I've been saying for the last number of weeks, I've kind of gone from the camp of, and opinions change, and I think Raz's play has dropped a little bit over the last couple of months. And so I've gone from the hard re-sign Anderson camp to don't trade him and see where things are in a contract negotiation once you can in the summertime, and then evaluate from there, is kind of where I'm at now when it comes to Anderson. Okay, 960. This says, guys, when does Mantha come back, and how would he figure into the Flames' plans either late this season or the playoffs, hopefully? We're not expecting Mantha back. I don't think he does factor in, and I can tell you he did not factor into any of their decision-making today on this Friday. Rob says, disappointed but not surprised. It'll either make Conroy look like a genius or a fool. Time will tell. This says, great job today by Connie. Less is more. Good thing Tree's not the GM anymore. Harvey says, good afternoon, guys. I believe it's a good thing Conroy did not do anything today, because they have a good thing going in that locker room right now. Farabee and Frost will help them clinch. Massive game against Vancouver on Wednesday. That comes from Harvey. This from Andre. Based on what has happened today, how does that move the needle for the Flames making the playoffs or falling way out when considering the schedule they have left? Well, honestly, Logo, of the teams in this mix, one thing we haven't talked about, the teams in the mix with the Flames. So Calgary is in the final wild card spot. Vancouver, St. Louis, and Utah are within 1, 2, and 3 points of them. None of those teams did much of anything today. Old habits die hard, even if you're in Utah, as Utah went and acquired a contract for a guy who hasn't played in 20 years in Shea Weber today. So Utah did that. St. Louis lost Parayko, but didn't do anything to really recoup that. Blues didn't sell off anybody. Braden Schenn remains a member of the Blues. Vancouver is going past the deadline with Brock Besser still as a member of the team, even with him not having a contract extension.
They sold Soucy yesterday.
Yeah, Soucy got traded to the Rangers yesterday.
All of those guys that they brought in last year to up their decor, gone. Soucy, Zadorov, and who's the other one I'm thinking of? Like there's another name in there. Brännström. Sure.
Brännström got traded again today.
Yep.
So honestly, did the needle move much at all in that playoff race? Vancouver about the same, St. Louis the same, Utah re-signed everybody, and they're the same, and Calgary's the same. Needle didn't really move at all when it comes to the actual rosters on the teams. This says, with the Flames' last six-game record of 2-2-2 against the teams they played, proves to me this team's got what it takes to fight their way into a playoff spot. No need to chase the unrealistic, so I'm happy with the early deals they made, and if they continue to grow this group, maybe add in the summer. Good things are on the horizon. The Connie plan is working. Chris in Terrace, so way up in the North Coast in BC, says, this is the best-case scenario for the team. The other teams in a chase for the final spot also didn't do anything or much. Flames know they're not winning at all this season, but the push is a good thing for this young group. Go Flames, go. This says, from Ian, I think Conroy nailed it, did good business early, and was open and honest about who was off limits, and didn't get bullied by Brad Treliving. However this season ends, I think the Flames have improved this year. Danny says, what did they do? With the prices being paid today, they wasted a prime opportunity to maximize the return for aging veterans to build toward the future. That's always been the goal. Who cares if they happen to accidentally eke into the playoffs on the back of good goaltending to be bounced? The long-term goal was to win a cup, not play 4 playoff games. But Danny, are you not listening to Craig Conroy? Like, whether you agree or not, you can't sit here and poke holes in Craig Conroy's plan, because he's told me, he's told you, he's told Elliot, he's told Frank, he's told everybody that he's not trading his veteran guys. So I guess, did he miss a prime opportunity, Logo, to sell off guys if that was never in the cards to begin with? Like, if the cards are on the table and you decide not to push your chips in, then maybe it's a missed opportunity. But if you're not playing the hand, then you didn't miss an opportunity in my eyes. Like, whether you agree with them going about their business and building the way they are or not, Craig Conroy has been beyond transparent in saying how he's going to do this. And what he did today is very much in line with what he has messaged.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I don't buy for a second that Craig Conroy had these amazing offers on the deal for Rooney and Hanley and simply said, no, I'd prefer to keep these guys.
And I think Danny's talking about like Kadri and Coleman and guys like that.
Sure, but again, it's fun to talk about that, but I hate assuming that there's always this, just because other teams have cashed in on some of their players, that it's a guarantee that all these guys, there is the same lineup for every Flame. You know what I mean? And then even in all that, like, you want to talk about it. Everybody that said Kadri, again, full no move clause. Blake Coleman has trade protection. A lot of these guys have a say in this. It's not just as easy as Craig got this outrageous offer and absolutely has to move them. It's just not that simple.
Yep.
And he, and again, even if it was that, I think Craig's been pretty transparent. He was even transparent when he talked to us earlier. If something came up that made us better for the foreseeable future, we would have done it.
Yep.
It just didn't exist. And it's just, it's to me, it's too easy to sit there and assume that these magical offers were on the table because, and he just didn't want to pull the trigger on it.
Yep.
I don't think that's true.
Scott in Lethbridge says, very glad the Flames didn't squander any draft capital, cap capital, or roster capital. See how the season shakes out now and make the big decisions before and at the draft. Matt in Calgary says, I'm happy with their deadline. Frost Farabee was a great trade with lots of potential. Doing that more than a month ago is giving them more time to build chemistry with the rest of the team. For today's deadline, they really didn't need to mortgage picks for aging players or rentals. The only trade I wish could have developed was getting Miramanov out of town for a draft pick. It's a crowded D lineup, and I would rather see Solo or Kuznetsov more in the final stretch of the season. I do believe that they were trying to move Miramanov for the last number of weeks, if not number of months. Like, I think for a good chunk of the new calendar year, they've been looking to see if there is some sort of landing spot they could find for Daniil Miramanov. Feel like there was maybe one or two things close-ish earlier this week that didn't come to fruition, but there was no pressure to get that done at the deadline. I mean, if Miramanov gets traded, then he gets traded. If he doesn't, he's a depth option for you. But at this current juncture, he's not really factored in.
And I guess what's to say he couldn't still go on waivers?
And that could also be the case, that he could still go on waivers between now and the end of the season. Magarsa, you got to give credit to Connie. He kept his word, and you got to respect that. He could have set this team up for major failure going forward had he given up what the asking price was today. The Flames are where they're at, and to build this properly, it's going to take patience and calculated moves. I have all the confidence in Connie, the way he's been operating, that he can do just that with the cap space that is there. And also, let's not forget the following season, there's two players, number four, number 20, they can possibly flip if the team starts going the wrong way. Breathe deeply, fellow Flames fans, and enjoy this ride, whichever way it's going to go. Playoffs or no playoffs, it's all part of the process. Go Flames, go. That's from Magarsa. Tim says, I'm good with Connie not doing anything. I'm fully in on his retooling. There wasn't anything available that he could have really done that would have made sense at this point in the year. Offseason's a different story. The plan has always been to be competitive enough to challenge for the playoffs, and against odds, Craig has done that. They have a lot in the pipeline that might be ready next season. At least get a good hard look. For now, I'm rolling with what they have. Chris in Copperfield says, I'm fine with it. Trust in what Conroy's doing. If something was there at the right price, he would have done it. Secondly, to those fans losing their mind, just a reminder, there will be a trade deadline next year. It's not like it's going away. Ash says, Connie did the right things. Wait till summer as things shake out. Maybe then they can take a run at somebody else. Tim in Tuscany says, was hoping to broker a deal or two for picks, but standing pat and seeing what happens the rest of the way was smart business. And as Craig Conroy told us, definitely tried to be that third-party broker for retention and get some assets. They wanted to.
I don't think multiple-year retention makes sense either.
Well, especially with Markstrom and all.
Well, you still pay Marky next year,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. So. Markstrom's still one of their retention slots, and knowing that this team is still big-picture oriented next year, only having one retention slot next year kind of limits you in some things you might want to do.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you can tell me if you think any different, there was no single-year retention done today.
Don't believe.
I think only the guys that got retained on today were multiple year guys, and I think both of them, at least two of them, out of Toronto.
Yeah.
For Leafs acquisitions, I should say.
Yeah.
So today, clearly, a lot of the moves that teams were looking for another team to retain on were multiple years. And if it's $1 million to $1.5 million, if it's multiple years, I want a significant asset back if I'm doing that. If I'm Craig Conroy, you said, knowing that Markstrom still has another year there.
Dan in Cochrane says, big picture, I'd be on team sell, but I completely agree you can't and shouldn't gut the room given what they've done this season. Whether I like where they're at or not is another matter, but Conroy did the right thing today. This reads from Mean Gene. Conroy didn't pick someone up or trade someone. I'm fine with that. But then why didn't he use the cap room to get draft picks or prospects? Be the money man on other teams' deals. I felt like it was a waste of an opportunity, which we just addressed. What else we got here at 960? I'm just taking a look at some of these deals. Some of these aren't answering the questions that we're asking, so that's why.
Wedley wants to trade Shan, which I would have been okay with.
Not Wedley, too. We don't give in to pressure, Wedley. One more. This one says from Brennan, I think at this point I'm done trying to armchair GM and just enjoy the ride. A playoff appearance is fun no matter what the circumstances. Seeing Wolf in the playoffs would be enough for me. That's from Brennan in Calgary. Okay, this is Flames Talk. This hour starting to wrap up. Thanks to Cam and Shan, our outstanding producers. He's Logan Gordon. My name is Pat Steinberg, and it is Trade Deadline Day coverage. It's brought to you on Flames Talk by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.